Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth, who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Friday on this first day of May 2020. And if you listen to this program often enough, you know by now that every Friday, for the most part, there will be an exception coming up next week, but for the most part, every Friday, we provide a coronavirus update on pandemic, pestilence, and panic. What does the Bible say? We not only give statistical information about those that are infected with the virus, those that are hospitalized, those that have sadly perished, and things like that. But we also have Joe Jackowitz here, pastor of Christ Bible Church in Pleasanton, California, to give a biblical application on how Christians should respond to these types of calamities that from time to time even reach global proportion like this pandemic has. But Joe Jackowitz is also, in addition to being the pastor of Christ Bible Church in Pleasanton, California, he's also the founder of First Love Radio, First Love Missions, and First Love Publications. And it's great to have you back once again, this time for part 8 of our coronavirus updates, Pastor Joe Jackowitz.
I'm just so glad to be with you, Chris, and your listeners. We have a lot to talk about, but we've got 2 hours.
Yep. And today, specifically, the theme of our weekly update is Pandemic Revolution, A Call to Radical Christianity. If anybody wants to join us on the air with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, please give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And as I typically do, Joe, because there are people who discover you for the first time, we have new listeners, it seems, joining our audience every day. And whenever we have James White as a guest, we tend to get a whole group of new listeners that join our audience, and I'm looking forward to his return to the program. But tell our listeners about Christ Bible Church in Pleasanton, California.
Christ Bible Church is a Reformed Baptistic church located about 30-40 miles east of San Francisco. We are nestled in an interesting community in that it's a very diverse population here in Northern California, actually the whole state of California, but there's a lot of hostility against the church. There's much from the government and from the culture of the community that is anti-Christian. The whole world is anti-Christian, but it seems like we have a triple dose here in the San Francisco Bay Area, and we have...
Really? I didn't know that San Francisco was known for anti-Christian behavior.
As you speak with tongue-in-cheek, right?
That's right.
Yeah, we've got the two capitals of liberalism here between Berkeley and San Francisco. And, of course, Silicon Valley as well here, just a few miles south of us. So we're in a very unique area, and we've reached out for over 30 years with tracts, with evangelism, street preaching. We actually have three street preachers in our church who go out from time to time sharing the good news of salvation with those who would hear. We frequently go to downtown San Francisco in a famous location at Powell Street and Market Street, at that intersection where the cable car starts and goes throughout the city and back again. And so,
by the way, did you know that my landlord at one time pastored the First Orthodox Presbyterian Church of San Francisco?
Oh, really? I didn't know that. The former pastor of that church was a good friend of mine.
Chuck McElhenney?
Yes, yes.
Yes, and he wrote the, When the Wicked Sees the City, and
yes.
That was about when his church had discovered, this is back in the early 70s, I believe, or maybe late 70s, I can't remember right now, but the church discovered that the church organist was a homosexual.
Yes.
And they told him that he had to step down from that position until he demonstrated repentance. And he said, basically, I'm not going to repent. This is the way I am. So they excommunicated him. And when he started spreading the word amongst the homosexual, quote, community in San Francisco, they unleashed their fury on this family. And started by leaving hundreds and hundreds of grotesque voicemail messages on their answering machine. That's what they called them back then. And threatening to kidnap their children and murder them. And then they eventually, while the Chuck and his wife and children were asleep, a group of them set fire to their home. And it was a good thing that Chuck had noticed a reflection of the flames in the window in his bedroom, and everybody got out to safety. And there was never an arrest made. And the amazing thing is, I don't know why it's amazing. I shouldn't say it's amazing. It's pretty expected in this culture that we live in. But the only place you ever heard about that was in Christian media. And can you imagine that if some professing nut job Christians had burned down the home of a homosexual family, you would hear about it all over the world constantly.
Well, that's part of the resistance and animosity of the world that we face, is this mind-blowing hypocrisy and double standard. But the Lord has already told us that we will face that here, as sheep who are brought to the slaughter. And so.
Amen. Well, Christ Bible Church and you personally were also instrumental in founding First Love Radio, who live streams this program, and First Love Missions and First Love Publications.
Yes, well, we're so blessed to have your program, Iron Sharpens Iron, anchor our 24/7 radio station, which is firstloveradio.org, and I want to send my greetings to all of our listeners on First Love Radio. Many are listening also through your website at ironsharpensironradio.com, but we do have a growing audience, and the audience is indeed growing on First Love Radio, listening all around the world. I just got an email in a few days ago from a listener in Nigeria, who expresses appreciation for Iron Sharpens Iron. I was going to send you an email copy of that, but I forgot. Anyway, so we appreciate our listeners, and we encourage you to invite others to join the program. And the entire station, actually, we've got a really good lineup of preachers and teachers. Actually, First Love Radio is in the process of being upgraded and improved, and so we encourage you to continue to listen. We have a new program, Truth for Life, with Alistair Begg, being added to the lineup here in the next several days. And then Dr. Robert Cook, his program is being added here, and as well as a new program that many of our listeners who are struggling with addiction or know someone that is, it's called Pure Life Ministries with Steve Gallagher. Steve is an author who has written a number of books, he and his wife, Kathy, on the subject of pornography addiction. And he is doing a great ministry. He has a campus, I think it's in Kentucky, where they have 100 or more live-in residential folks that they're helping. They have a live-in program, but they also have seminars they give and, of course, their books and their courses. But they don't have any radio program whatsoever. And I've known Steve for about 20 years, and I used to interview him on a radio program I did on another station. That's where I met him. And one thing led to another. In the last couple of years, he and I have come back into communication, and we developed a program with them. They mainly developed it, but it's going to be aired a couple of times a week at an hour where children are not awake because of the theme that we deal with. And, of course, there's not going to be anything off-color that would be spoken on the program. And then, ultimately, the program will go to a daily time slot. And so we're very excited about that because I think it's the biggest unspoken problem that many believers are wrestling with is the area of pornography. And it's saturated our society. Our entire world is immersed with a pornographic mind, and many are slaves of this wicked sin and immorality connected with pornography. It's a multi-billion dollar industry. Steve has written some great books that have been very helpful, and so we're looking forward to being the first radio ministry to launch that new program on First Love Radio. And if you go to our website, you can keep up with information about when, the time slot, and the day that program, as well as the other ones, will be launched. And we have additional programs coming online. We also have Martin Lloyd-Jones. We have Dr. Peter Masters, Albert Martin, and many other great preachers. And then we have a variety of genres, different types of programs that are on the station. You just have to listen. It's at firstloveradio.org. The website is firstloveradio.org. You will find our program schedule and our playlist on the website, and a lot of other information, a list of our broadcasters. And so we trust that God will use Family Radio. We pray that He uses Family Radio in the future to feed millions of hungry souls in these end times who are starving for truth. And you pray for us that the Lord will continue to use First Love Radio for His glory. So that's our highlighting of First Love Radio. As you mentioned, we also have First Love Missions. We have a missions organization where we send out missionaries, and we have branches of First Love Missions in different places of the world. If you're interested in missionary work, please pray for us, as well as you may want to inquire about our ministry. And then First Love Publications, where we've given away over 300,000 books since 2006, free of charge, at Bible conferences, pastors' conferences, and just in general all over the world. You can order these books on our website at firstlovepublications.org. firstlovepublications.org. We also have a catalog on that website where you can read a description of each one of our titles. So these are Ministries of Christ Bible Church, and we also have our church website at christbiblechurch.org. That's christbiblechurch.org.
When you were mentioning Pure Life Ministries, I had that really rang a bell, and I looked it up on my old Iron Sharpens Iron radio website when I was still broadcasting out of New York, and I interviewed a brother named Jeff Colon, who was the former executive director of Pure Life Ministries.
Oh, okay. Well, I think Steve is the founder of it, but he's still very active and as an author, a speaker, He's still president of the ministry, but I don't know how this other brother, he's probably leadership, but Steve would be a really good person to interview, I think.
Yeah, in fact, I think I've seen their booth at the G3 conference, if I'm not mistaken.
Or
at some conference, I'm fairly sure. Today is the day that we start off the program to giving updates on the coronavirus pandemic, and these things change rapidly.
Yes.
Even within the same day and sometimes within the same hour. So if you could give us all your updates.
Well, I received these statistics about an hour and a half ago, and I'm sure they've increased just a little bit. But as far as the entire world, there's been 3,278,546 confirmed coronavirus cases. 234,021 of them have died. And then as far as the United States, there's 1,070,620 confirmed cases and 63,023 deaths. So we've passed that 60,000 mark that they've been describing as the limit. Around 60,000, so we've passed that by 3,000, and who knows where it will end. Only God knows, especially if we have a second wave of coronavirus cases. It seems like that number will go up drastically, but let's keep praying that it won't. I know that many believers are praying that God would have mercy upon our nation, our world, and would do away with this virus. But half of all Americans have been financially impacted by the coronavirus now, says
Yeah, including Iron Shepherd's Iron Radio.
Yes, including most churches as well. 50% of Americans say they or someone in their household lost their job or lost hours due to the coronavirus pandemic's impact on the economy, according to a new national Marist poll for NPR and the PBS NewsHour released Wednesday. The poll's release comes as the government reports that the U.S. economy plunged at an annual rate of 4.8% for the first 3 months of this year, the largest contraction since the Great Recession over a decade ago. Still, U.S. equity markets soared Wednesday with upbeat news about a potential coronavirus treatment from drug maker Gilead Sciences. And so the world's economies continue to collapse. Demonstrations in the streets of major cities throughout the world continue to take place. The next 45 days are the most crucial period in U.S. financial history. There have been riots and looting in cities like Cape Town. And so there's still many negative impact or effects from the coronavirus impact. There's some good news, though. Things are starting to flatten out in terms of the curve in many places. More than a dozen states relaxed coronavirus shutdown measures. America is slowly but surely reopening for business. The first day of May, that's today, on Friday, saw more than half a dozen states relax lockdown measures that were imposed as the coronavirus pandemic began.
Yeah, and I was very happy to see on the map on Fox News that Pennsylvania was one of them. But when I heard Governor Wolf's speech today, my county was not one of them.
Oh, my goodness. Is he a Democrat or a Republican?
Oh, he's a Democrat big time.
Well, they're starting to loosen some of these measures in certain states. Vice President Pence, in an interview today, said much of the coronavirus pandemic could be behind the United States by early June. Well, let's keep praying that would indeed be the case. So that's only a little over a month away. As of this morning, the U.S. has seen more than 1 million coronavirus cases and more than 63,000 deaths, as I mentioned. President Trump announced a plan on April 16th to reopen the country in three phases based on the severity of the outbreak in each state or region. In addition, Connecticut plans to start easing its coronavirus lockdown measures on May 20th, and said the governor. Still, there's tension in some states that are slowly reopening. New Jersey officials reported 460 new coronavirus-related deaths Thursday, marking the highest single-day death toll in the state. That ranks number two in infections and deaths behind New York. On Saturday, the Garden State plans to reopen state and county parks and golf courses. So there's a slow increase in opening up the nation, and 50% of restaurants, their capacity, they're letting people in many places. Despite the measured optimism in the U.S., the coronavirus could last up to 2 years, some doctors say. A new report by the Center for Infectious Disease Research and Policy at the University of Minnesota says. The report notes the similarities between COVID-19 and influenza pandemics, including both having asymptomatic cases and the global population having little to no pre-existing immunity, which results in worldwide susceptibility. So that's the update, Chris. There's good news and there's bad news. The bad news is the coronavirus still has its felt effect in many places throughout the country. It seems like there are smaller locations that have a denser impact upon a lot of people, and that there are more locations that have a lesser effect, especially in the rural areas. And so it would be interesting to see if doctors adjust their strategy to have a more measured approach instead of a one-size-fits-all approach with it.
And by the way, folks, I also want to recommend a program, an interview that I did on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio with Dr. Banu Gaddi, G-A-D-D-E. He is the owner and operator of three pharmacies on Long Island, New York. He's a Christian and an elder at New Hyde Park Baptist Church. But he did a fascinating interview with me that you can listen to later on, which is archived at ironsharpensironradio.com in the past shows podcast section. And he is utterly and completely convinced that vitamin D3 is the best way to prevent and to eliminate the coronavirus. And you could hear more about that on that interview and share it with others.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, because my wife and I are in a high-risk category of people to get the virus, and we take vitamin D3 every day, so that's encouraging to hear.
Yeah, and it's amazing that nobody else anywhere in the media is talking about this. I just don't understand it. When you have these medical experts on every station and, you know, many hours of the day, and nobody's mentioning this except for Banu Gaddi.
Well, you mentioned your website, Chris, and I would remind your listeners that your website is an absolutely excellent resource for people to go to find topics and subjects on all different levels that people can go to be informed and educated and biblically equipped concerning how to defend the faith on a particular issue, or to just grow in Bible knowledge on a particular issue. You have so many podcasts on many, many important, critical, vital themes on your website. Many of your listeners may not know about this or have taken advantage of it yet. You can actually identify a podcast and then copy it and then paste it, the link in an email, and send it to a friend who may need to hear the information in that podcast. So I would encourage our listeners to go to your website and to check out your podcast list.
Great. And, you know, instead of interrupting you mid-sentence, I'm going to go to our first break right now. And this way, when we come back, you could speak for a much longer length of time without being interrupted. And if anybody would like to join us on the air with a question, about not only the coronavirus specifically, but more importantly, how we as Christians should respond to this pandemic, not only in regard to our own lives and families and safety and so on, but also in a to taking advantage of a Christian opportunity to not only share the gospel with those around us, but also to demonstrate the love of Jesus Christ to all who surround us. So if you want to send in a question, send in an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com, and please give us your first name at least, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Pastor Joe Jackowitz.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nestle Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com, and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
The coronavirus pandemic has rapidly changed our way of life, bringing so many uncertainties. When will it end? Why do disasters like this happen? How do we deal with anxiety, fear, and the like? Well, join us each Friday on the program Iron Sharpens Iron with your host, Chris Arnzen, and Pastor Joe Jackowitz as they explore God's Word for answers to this and other of life's related issues. Tune in at firstloveradio.org. That's firstloveradio.org. Each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. That's Iron Sharpens Iron on firstloveradio.org. Fridays, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. To hear what the Bible has to say about pandemics and how we should respond.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
And Pastor Bill Sasser will be our guest this Monday, God willing, May 4th, and we will announce as soon as we have the theme developed what that theme will be. And I'm sure you're going to be blessed by Pastor Bill Sasser, and we thank him and the congregation at Grace Church of Franklin from the depths of our hearts for their sponsorship of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We are now back to our discussion with Pastor Joe Jackowitz on Pandemic Revolution, A Call to Radical Christianity. Now, that sounds pretty revolutionary. What do you mean by a pandemic revolution?
Yes, indeed. It is revolutionary, at least for the one who experiences it. Radical Christianity speaks to a believer who's been really restless in his or her soul. That's the bottom line. It's an uneasiness that we can't put our finger on. It's frequently elusive and a faint and weak feeling. And God is always calling us to go to the next level. Now, when I talk about radical Christianity, it's really a misnomer. But we have to use the phrase radical Christianity to let people know that being on fire for the Lord, being dedicated and committed and faithful and living a holy life is normal Christianity. But we define it as radical or something that is like a super Christian because there are masses of professing believers who are living complacent lives. We all struggle with weakness. None of us are strong in and of ourselves. But there's a class of people calling themselves Christians that have filled most of our churches. They occupy a large percentage of our churches who are either not converted or who are experiencing great weakness in their life. Now, I'm not talking today nor addressing myself to the group of unconverted professing Christians in our churches. I'm addressing myself to a group of believers who are truly saved, whom God has been working on for a while in their hearts to bring them to the next level in their relationship with God. God shaking them up and waking them up to go to a greater level of radical surrender and consecration. I'm not talking about this idea of Christian perfectionism. There's no such thing as that, even though John Wesley taught that and others throughout the history of the church. I'm talking about coming to a place in our lives where God uses a traumatic event to either temporarily or permanently bring in a level of freedom in serving God, a level of deeper commitment in serving God, in being obedient to God in our lives. And so that's what I mean by radical Christianity. And leading up to that, God works behind the scenes, even unbeknownst to our senses, in preparing us for that. And this preparation is frequently elusive, and it's a very undiscernible activity in our souls. It's a restlessness of heart that occurs for many reasons. There's restlessness that we can't define, such as general guilt or unconfessed sin or conviction of sin or the need to reconcile from an estranged relationship. These are just a few examples of the spiritual agitation that takes place deep in our hearts, and we often can't figure out why we feel this way. It's an anonymous, undefinable, and even frustrating feeling because of the element of mystery in it. But there are two additional aspects of this spiritual agitation that's undefinable that I think are growing exponentially today, in particular, in the hearts of many Christians. And I've never seen the explosion of fear and uncertainty and stress in all my years as a pastor and as a Christian as I have witnessed in the last few months. And two of the reasons why God is doing this, I believe, which adds to these other examples of agitation, undefinable agitation, two of the reasons why God is doing this, I think, number one, is to cause backsliding Christians to return from their wilderness wandering. There's nothing like an explosion on a worldwide level or a community level which affects us personally to get our attention. And the pandemic, this coronavirus pandemic, is a tool to shock and awaken believers from mediocrity and complacency and bring them to to their spiritual senses. Backsliding, whether it's short-term or long-term, is not intended to be the new normal today. In spite of the false teaching of the carnal Christian or easy believism, these notions are not biblical. And those teachers who would attempt to teach these things, such as the carnal Christian, and divide Christianity into two classes, that is, those who are dedicated and those who are saved, but they're just not living for the Lord, have failed, because the Bible does not teach such a notion. But the Bible does teach that there is an experience we call backsliding among believers, which is not permitted by God, and which the Word of God strongly admonishes and rebukes. And so the coronavirus, I believe, is intended by God to awaken genuine Christians who have fallen asleep spiritually and have become desensitized to the powerful reality in our lives that we should be awakened to every day. The Old Testament in Proverbs describes this as the truth cries out in the streets. In other words, we should be living as Christians with a sense of the presence of God in our life. We should be living with the fear of God leading and guiding us. We should be living our lives with a very heightened sense of sensitivity to sin. We should be aware of the convictions and the claims of God and the weightier matters that God is concerned about concerning our spiritual lives. That should be normal Christianity, but unfortunately, these false teachings of easy believism have divided true Christianity, that is, normal Christianity of walking with God in holiness, from the idea that believers can just live like they want, talk how they want, and they'll still die and go to heaven. Now, I'm not talking about the fact that genuine Christians backslide. That's a different, I mean, that we all struggle. That's a separate issue. So the first additional purpose, besides these other four things that I mentioned, where God agitates us, where we don't understand very often why, with guilt or the conviction of sin and so forth, to awaken us, the one I wanted to focus on is backsliding, where he uses that to bring us back to to our spiritual senses. In terms of radical events, so I think God is using the coronavirus, spiritually speaking, behind the scenes, deep in the heart and minds of believers, to awaken many from this soul sleep they've been in, from this temporary blindness that has arrested them for either the short term or the long term, to bring them back into a close relationship with the Lord. It's obvious to me, Chris, that the pandemic is being used by God as a tool to shock and awaken believers from mediocrity and complacency and bring them back to their spiritual senses. And so that's the first purpose I think God is doing. So God is calling believers back to just biblical Christianity, just the normal type of Christianity that he outlines, especially in the New Testament, in describing the life of holiness and the life of sanctification. The second main purpose, besides these others, is to accelerate spiritual growth in certain Christians. What do I mean by that? Well, there, from time to time, as a Christian, we kind of get stuck on a certain spiritual level and can't seem to graduate to the next level of the knowledge of God and the knowledge of Christ and spiritual growth in our lives. And God will bring us to a place where we get so sick and tired of being sick and tired in terms of our lack of growth, that he will use a shocking event, a crisis experience, whether it be a personal crisis experience, or something objective outside of ourselves, like a world event, like the coronavirus, to kind of shake some of his people and shock us into making a commitment to go to that next level that we've been wanting to go in our relationship with God. And these are people who are genuine believers. They love the Lord. They've been stuck in the same place spiritually, maybe for months or years. They've been wanting to make permanent changes in their relationship with God. They want to go to the next level of commitment in their daily walk with the Lord and to bring glory to God by bearing spiritual fruit. But they've just been caught in this cycle of mediocrity and limitation. They've been wanting to break out from this straitjacket that's been on their growth. They want to go deeper, but they've been hindered for one reason or another. And I believe that God is using the coronavirus as a statement, as a clear message that he's writing across the sky to some, not all, maybe a minority of selected believers, that God is saying, okay, I'm speaking loudly to you now. You need to trust in my Son. You need to believe me and my promise for the power of God's Spirit to bring you to that place of decision and commitment where you will stop doing this and start doing that. You need to seek me now more diligently about this. You need to keep seeking me and keep believing my promises, trusting in my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, until I empower you to actually make these changes and to make them permanently. And so God uses traumatic events to accomplish these purposes, and I believe he's using the coronavirus to do that. And so when I talk about a pandemic revolution, I am especially addressing myself to those Christians whom God is calling to live a radical, faithful, biblical Christian life, either in returning to God from backsliding or to accelerate and mature in their Christian growth on a level that God has been stirring them up to go to in their hearts for a long time.
Well, we have a listener, an anonymous listener, who says, I must admit that I am not faring very well spiritually during this crisis, and I was wondering if this test that God is sending all believers to reveal who are truly his and who are false professors is demonstrating that I am not truly a Christian at all.
Well, only God knows that, and God wants you to find that out, because he never sends a message from his word and through providence like he is sending to many who profess Christ and whom he's testing their relationship and he's searching their hearts. He never does something like that except it be an act of mercy to bring us either back to a place of faithful communion and fellowship with God in our daily walk as a backslidden Christian, or in the case that you're referring to actually save some people who are churchgoers. They have Bible knowledge, but they've never been able to make permanent changes in their hearts. They've never repented of their sin. Oh, they may have felt sorrow. They may have made temporary changes, like we read about in the Bible's description of the parable of the sower. But they've fallen backwards and have stayed there permanently. Wherever there is the seed of God in a person's heart, they cannot continue in a permanent way in a place of embracing a lifestyle of practicing sin. As we read in 1 John, the seed of God remains in them, and they cannot practice sin because they've been born of God. Doesn't mean a Christian doesn't struggle and wrestle with sin every day. We do. We have the whole duty of mortification of sin and the crucifying of the flesh under the overall theme and doctrine of sanctification. And Christ, in his death on the cross, has provided grace and strength to believers to overcome through his shed blood, through imparted righteousness. These are terms that need to be explained. But there is an application of the death of Christ that applies to Christians. Jesus not only died to justify us and to impute his righteousness to our account and to provide redemption and reconciliation and adoption, but he also died, Romans teaches, and other places, to sanctify us. So there is an application and a place in our Lord's atonement where there was made an allowance, a designed and deliberate application of his cross to empower his people to live the Christian life in some measure, where we grow periodically and incrementally. We may have periods of stuntedness and complacency, even long periods, but the Spirit of God, who has been deposited in our hearts, he is God, and he guarantees the sealing and the guarding of the purchased possession which Christ died on the cross to purchase his people. And he not only acts as a sealer of our faith, but he is the one who triggers us to come back from a place of backsliding. He also prompts us to go to that next level of growth in the knowledge of Christ and in our pragmatic daily Christian life, in our practical Christian living. And so, but for the unsaved person who just has religion but doesn't love God as he should, doesn't have a heart for the things of God, remains passive when intense spiritual activities and operations are taking place in worship, not only in the formal gathering of the saints in church, but in informal gatherings, or even in his private time with the Lord, there doesn't seem to be a place where such a professing Christian not only can relate to what these spiritual activities that are going on, but also enjoy them. And so God, throughout church history, has proven himself to be so loving and so compassionate and so kind that a number of persons who have been saved and added to the church, have been filled with the Holy Spirit, have all the earmarks and traits of a Christian, have come into the church from a place of being a hypocrite, from a place of being religious but not converted. And true Christians, genuine believers, occasionally or frequently feel like they are one of those people because we struggle. We struggle as genuine Christians. We lapse in and out of a state or a mindset of assurance or doubts. We very often think to ourselves, not very often, but sometimes think, maybe I'm not saved, and that's why I did this, that, or the other thing. And we often have to be brought back to the objective work of Jesus Christ on the cross, which is the grounds of our salvation.
And I want this is very important. I want you to pick up where you left off, because we have to go to our midway break. And I hope that our anonymous listener remains with us, because this is some very important stuff. This is the longer than normal break, folks. Please be patient with us, because we have to air more commercials during this break than in our other breaks, because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, has to air their own public service announcements during this break to localize Iron Sharp and Zion Radio to Lake City, Florida, according to the FCC regulations. So while they air their local public service announcements, we air our globally heard commercials. Please write down the information for as many of our advertisers as possible so that you can more frequently and successfully patronize them, which will mean that we will more likely remain on the air for a longer future because we rely upon our advertisers to exist. But also write down questions for Joe Jackowitz about something related to the pandemic. It may be something that you heard about statistical information that you want clarified, or if it's about a theological issue, a biblical issue, more importantly. Send us an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And don't go away. God willing, we're going to be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so, and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I have been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's solidrockremodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how He shall be worshipped and how He shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
The coronavirus pandemic has rapidly changed our way of life, bringing so many uncertainties. When will it end? Why do disasters like this happen? How do we deal with anxiety, fear, and the like? Well, join us each Friday on the program Iron Sharpens Iron with your host, Chris Arnzen, and Pastor Joe Jackowitz, as they explore God's Word for answers to this and other of life's related issues. Tune in at firstloveradio.org. That's firstloveradio.org. Each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. That's Iron Sharpens Iron on firstloveradio.org. Fridays, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. To hear what the Bible has to say about pandemics and how we should respond.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
And don't forget to mark your calendars for Monday, the 4th of May, when Pastor Bill Sasser, whose voice you just heard, will be our guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And before I return to my guest today, Joe Jackowitz, for more of our update on the coronavirus pandemic, I just want to add some more announcements to what I just said there. First of all, we've got on Tuesday, the 5th of May, Dr. Joe Moorcraft, is returning to our program for part four of a discussion we began over a month ago on With Liberty and Justice for All, Christian Politics Made Simple. That's the title of his book, and we will be addressing that for part four of our discussion. Obviously, I've been finding the discussion fascinating, and we've had Pastor Joe back on. This will be the fourth time on this book alone. In fact, we've even had him on the old Iron Sharpens Iron radio program discussing that topic. Then on Wednesday, we have 2 days in a row on politics, because we have Dr. David C. Innes of King's College is going to be on the program to discuss his book, Christ and the Kingdom of Men. I'm sorry, Christ and the Kingdoms, plural, of Men. Christ and the Kingdoms of Men, Foundations of Political Life. That will be Wednesday. And then on Thursday, my dear friend, who is no stranger to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio audience, Pastor Bill Shishko of the Haven in Deer Park, Long Island, a congregation of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. And I do not have a topic yet for Pastor Bill. And then on Friday, we are going to take a brief interruption of the weekly coronavirus updates with Pastor Joe Jackowitz. And this Friday, May 8th, we have Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries joining us. We had to accommodate his schedule. Friday, the 8th, he will be on, and we have yet to determine the topic for him either. And might as well throw in the following Monday after that, Monday, May 11th, we have Dr. Kurt Daniel returning to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to discuss his book, The History and Theology of Calvinism. And I'll give you a heads up, if you are one of six people, the first six people who write in a question good enough to be read on the air for Dr. Kurt Daniel, you will win a free copy of this 900-page hardback, The History and Theology of Calvinism. So, might as well start writing a question now. And, folks, if you love this show, as I've already hinted before in the very beginning of the show, this coronavirus pandemic has affected Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially because we have temporarily, at least I hope it's only temporarily, lost two of our biggest financial supporters because their businesses have been so negatively affected by the hysteria associated with this coronavirus. And so until they get back into a firmer position financially, they had to temporarily postpone supporting us. So I'm asking you, please, since we were already on financially shaky ground before that, I'm asking you, please, to help us out if you really want us to stick around. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, and click to donate now. And you could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. You could also advertise with us by sending an email to us at chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. As long as whatever it is you are promoting is compatible with what we believe, then we would be more than thrilled to help you launch an ad campaign immediately because we are in such urgent need of your advertising dollars. And remember, folks, never siphon money away from your regular giving that you're accustomed to your local church, in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, especially during a time like this when churches are hurting badly financially. So never siphon money away from the church to give to us, and never put your family in financial jeopardy to give to us. Those are two commands of Scripture to provide for your church and family. And so never ignore either of those commands or diminish how you support your church and your family. But what you can do is, with all this money that you've been saving, if you haven't lost your job, of course, or you haven't been devastated financially, but a lot of folks out there who are still employed, they're saving a lot of money because they used to go to movies, they used to go out fine dining, they used to go to their favorite sporting event, they used to go to concerts, and they used to go to stage performances, like plays and so on. And they used to go to Bible conferences. With all the money that you're saving not doing those things, please help us with some of that money, if indeed you want us to stick around. So go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Or you can mail in a check the old-fashioned way, via snail mail, to the address that appears on the screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com. And remember, folks, if you do not have a church that you call home, a good, solid, Bible-believing church, please, no matter what difficulty you are having finding one, I can help you, God willing, find a church, because I have lists of biblically faithful churches all over the world. And I've helped many people in our audience find churches that they have either joined or visited on vacation or recommended to loved ones. So please send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com,
and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you could send in a question to Joe Jackowitz of Christ Bible Church in Pleasanton, California. It's CHRISARNZEN at gmail.com, chrisarnzen at gmail.com. Give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence if you live outside the USA, and only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And before the break, Joe, we had an anonymous individual saying that they're not responding very well to the crisis. They didn't give any details about that, so we don't know how gravely serious this is. And of course, it could be an overreaction because the person has a sensitive spirit about their own sin. But I'm sure you would agree with me, Joe, and you could pick up where you wanted to leave off after I just say a couple of things. I'm sure you would agree with me that finding out that you are lost does not have to be bad news, because it all depends on how you respond to that information. Of course, it is bad news. Innately, it's bad news. But if you respond by fleeing to Christ, then you will have eternal life. And it is better to know that you are lost than to live on an entire life and wake up in judgment like those in Matthew 7, to whom Jesus says, "Be gone, you workers of unrighteousness, I never knew you." So finding out that you're lost can be a wonderful event in your life. And, of course, you may be a Christian who is backslidden, but in a technical sense, that it doesn't really matter which it is, because if you feel or believe, is a better word I should say, that you are not in a right relationship with God, flee to Him as if it's your first time. Just cry out to Him for mercy and for salvation. He's not going to penalize you if you're already saved and you're crying out for mercy and salvation again. But Joe, do you agree with what I just said?
I definitely agree with everything you just said. And if I might add, there are many church people who are really struggling with the whole matter of their salvation. They have doubts and they have fears and anxiety about whether they're saved or not. Many of them live on the razor's edge of fear over their souls for a long time, and they have little or no assurance and very rare tokens of God's felt presence in their life, and the only thing they have to go on is the day-to-day fluctuating whimsical nature of their imagination or their minds. And their very carnal way of trying to analyze and determine whether they're saved or not. And this is not the way we arrive at the assurance of our salvation. But as far as the good news of the gospel and your statement, Chris, that there is good news to people who are in this situation, whether you're a professing Christian or a genuine believer, there is good news. But if you're a true Christian, you already know that before you can appreciate the good news, you have to understand that there's bad news. And you have to respond properly to the bad news for you to be able to experience and enjoy the good news. And the bad news, of course, is that we're all sinners, whether the sin would be hypocrisy or the sin of religious people, or this, who are unconverted, or sins by those who are not religious, but they're all in the same camp. They're not saved. They're not born of the Spirit. They've not repented and received a changed heart, a new heart, a new mind, and a new lifestyle based on the Spirit of God coming into them, regenerating them, converting them spiritually, giving them new goals, new desires, a new lifestyle, because they put their trust in Jesus Christ alone to save their never-dying souls. And so there's a critical verse in James chapter 1. For any of you, in whatever condition you may be in, if you're curious, you're wondering about your salvation, you're not sure, you're like the person picking the tulip, he loves me, he loves me not, he loves me, he loves me not, and one day you have assurance and the next day you don't, and you're not sure, maybe you're a Christian, maybe you're not, there's a promise in James chapter 1, beginning at verse 2. The context here is trials and tribulations. And in James 1, 2, it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him." Now, the context here is a person who is experiencing trials, whether it be a trial of faith, emotional, spiritual trials, or something that is a trial in the flesh. And that trial, whatever it may be, is testing their patience, testing their faith. It's causing them to look within and to ask those kinds of questions that people who struggle with assurance of salvation, people that don't know where they are at with God at any given moment, to ask themselves. And so God says, look, if you're not sure about anything, turn away from yourself. Get your mind, first of all, off of yourself, because nothing but doubts and vacillating changes in your opinion of yourself and your salvation will continue to go on if you're looking at yourself. Turn away from yourself, and God says, if you lack wisdom, especially in the area of your relationship with God, whether you're a Christian or just a religious professor, God says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. The words liberally and reproach here were added by God deliberately to address the doubt of the person who would say, God's mad at me, he won't answer my prayer for wisdom and knowledge and assurance, or the understanding that I am saved or I am not saved. God says, look, if you lack wisdom, if you look to God and you are sincere and genuine in your desire to receive leading and guiding and understanding and wisdom from God, God will not grudgingly hold back as if he's dangling a carrot in front of your eyes and then will pull away that carrot. God doesn't give a promise and play games with us and renege on that promise. God says, if you lack wisdom about your salvation, and that's what we're particularly talking about right now, ask God, pray to God for the knowledge of whether you're saved or not. And I address myself to this listener who wrote in earlier, who has doubts about his salvation. Ask God, turn away from yourself, stop looking at yourself, because you're always going to have ups and downs in your opinion of yourself. Go to the objective, foolproof source of wisdom, that when God gives you that wisdom about where you are at with him in your relationship with him, you will know which way to go. And so God says, ask him for wisdom, but you need to have patience so that during this time of testing of your faith, this you need to understand, this is a blessing. This is a blessing. Many souls perish every day. 200,000 to 300,000 people die throughout the whole world every day. Many of these people profess to be saved, to profess to know God, but in works they denied him, and they left this world with a superficial presumption that they knew God, but they didn't know him. Based on just a cursory, superficial examination, based on a lack of knowing the Bible, that assuming they're saved and they're going to heaven. But God penetrates deeply into our hearts. God has the power, the ability, since he made us, to unearth and uncover all of the layers of ignorance and misunderstanding. And because we always tend to put the best interpretation on our relationship with God, when very often it is not in that way, he is able to cut through all of the darkness using his word. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, God says that the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a searcher of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So if you pray for wisdom about your relationship with God to discern whether you're saved or unsaved, God will penetrate through the layers of darkness and ignorance, and he will show you. Usually he uses his word, and through the illuminating power of his spirit, to shine the light in the darkness, darkest places of your heart. He will cut through to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow. He uses bone marrow as a metaphor to show that he will go to the center of your spirit, your mind, your heart, and uncover everything about this issue in terms of your relationship with God, and he'll show you. And once he shows you whether you're saved or not, he doesn't torment us. He's not going to answer the prayer for wisdom about your relationship with God, give you the knowledge that you're either saved or not, and then not go to the next step with you. That is, if you discover through the wisdom of God that you're not saved, then, and you begin seeking God for salvation, trusting in his Son, believing in his Son, Jesus Christ, alone, as the only basis of your acceptance with God, and the work of Jesus Christ in dying on the cross as your substitute to bear your sin in his own body on the tree, to pay your sin debt alone that you could never pay, then he will save your soul. He won't give you the wisdom and then not give you the salvation when you trust in him for that. Now, if you have God's wisdom, and you begin to pray, Lord, I realize that I am saved. You've shown me clearly from your word and by the leading of your spirit and by the tokens of the spirit of adoption in my heart, where your spirit has borne witness with my spirit, and you've heard my prayer of repentance as a believer coming in as a backslidden, wandering Christian from the wilderness, coming back into the sheepfold, coming back into the light and the love and the truth of knowing you, he's going to also pour out the spirit of adoption afresh on your heart and give you those comforts of his spirit that all true Christians have. He will not only give you the wisdom and understanding that you are saved, but he will affirm that, as he does with every Christian throughout his or her Christian life from time to time, with those comforts and those tokens and that presence of God, not permanently, they come and they go, but he will bear witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. So in either case, God will give you the wisdom, but you must trust him. You must ask in faith without doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. You need to believe this promise with all your heart and hang on to it as your life preserver between getting an understanding on this life and death issue or not getting it. And brother, you don't want to leave this world without an understanding, a clear, clear understanding that you are truly his child. The Bible says, these things have I written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the Son of God, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Well, as a part of your special edition of our program today, which is, as I've been mentioning, the weekly update that we do on the coronavirus, and you usually attach a special theme to that day, and you have done so again today, obviously. And so, when it comes to a call to radical Christianity. Tell us what you mean by change by the call.
Well, a call to radical Christianity, which is just being a faithful believer in the Spirit, has been going out to every generation in the history of the world. And those who have ears to hear this call and are humbled in their hearts to receive the call, and who have the eyes of their understanding enlightened to comprehend this call back from a place of backsliding or from a place of extreme restriction in growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, those who have these ears to hear this message of going to the next level with God in holiness and separation from worldliness, God will use events. He will use crisis experiences. He will use pain. He will use sickness. He will use cancer. He will use any number of devices at his disposal to get our attention and to bring believers to the next place of commitment and consecration in their relationship with the Lord. You know, the Lord didn't go through all that he went through, Chris, in dying on the cross, rising from the dead, in the incarnation, becoming the God-man, just to create an unholy church and save unholy believers. There's a massive amount of these people, like I've indicated earlier, that fill our churches who are hooked on worldliness and worldly entertainment and immorality and follow false teaching and don't have a pang or a quiver of their conscience in doing so. They measure themselves by themselves. They look at other people and other professing Christians, and they say, well, if these people are doing it, then I can do it. Whatever happened to the Holy Spirit who has sealed believers, the Holy Spirit who has a totally independent, objective mind and ministry in leading believers to have convictions about biblical truth and about a holy lifestyle? If you and I have the Holy Spirit and we have temporarily bought into the lie that it's okay to say that I'm a Christian and at the same time I can live like the world, talk like the world, walk like the world without any problems whatsoever, the Holy Spirit is a way of breaking through all this darkness and deception and showing us the principles of God's Word on the matter of holiness. And the Bible says, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. The Bible says in Titus 1, they profess to know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. So the ministry of the Holy Spirit is a powerful ministry, specifically in separating light from darkness in the understanding of believers so that they can clearly comprehend what the godly Christian life is, rather than getting swept up with the superficial morass and masses in these worldly churches and drowning in immorality and on the last day stand before God and have Matthew 7 repeated in their hearing, where Jesus will say, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. For many will say to me, Lord, have we not done many wonderful works in thy name, and have cast out demons in thy name, and have prophesied in thy name? And then I will say to them, Jesus says, I never knew you, who practice wickedness. And so the ministry of the Holy Spirit is intended to come in and show them that their profession of faith on the one hand as a Christian and their practicing wickedness without any conscience, without any second thought, is incompatible with the doctrine of sanctification and holiness in the Scripture. And so the Lord didn't go through everything he went through to save people who are not holy. Now, we all struggle. We're all weak sheep. But the difference between true believers and false believers is this matter of repentance, is this matter of being brought back to the Lord again and again through repentance of sin and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to sanctify me. And so we see then that, pardon me, that
This is a good point.
Let me just say this last sentence.
Okay.
Professing Christians have no problem in continuing on in sin, but they never repent. The true believer, okay, may commit individual acts of sin, but they are always grieved about it, and they eventually come back to repentance and faith in Christ
and
restore them.
Amen. And now we're going to our final break. It's going to be a lot quicker than the last ones. So if you would like to send in a question, do so quickly because they're rapidly running out of time. ChrisArnson@gmail.com, ChrisArnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm author Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Dan Lebenick of West Hills Baptist Church in Huntington Station, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Justin Peters of Justin Peters Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Reverend Buzz Taylor, author of God's Lawsuit, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Dr. William Webster, pastor of Grace Bible Church in Battleground, Washington, founder of the ministry Christian Resources. The NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Ryan Galan of Central Islip Community Church in Central Islip, New York. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brandon Smith of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Jackson, Georgia. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com, that's nasbible.com, to place your order.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and the Dividing Line webcast here. Although God has brought me all over the globe for many years to teach, preach, and debate at numerous venues, some of my very fondest memories are from those precious times of fellowship with Pastor Rich Jensen and the brethren at Hope Reformed Baptist Church, now located at their new beautiful facilities in Coram, Long Island, New York. I've had the privilege of opening God's Word from their pulpit on many occasions, have led youth retreats for them, and have always been thrilled to see their members filling many seats at my New York debates. I do not hesitate to highly recommend Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, to anyone who wants to be accurately taught, discipled, and edified by the Holy Scriptures, and to be surrounded by truly loving and caring brothers and sisters in Christ. I also want to congratulate Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram for the recent appointment of Pastor Rich Jensen's co-elder, Pastor Christopher McDowell. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, that you heard about them from James White on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
The coronavirus pandemic has rapidly changed our way of life, bringing so many uncertainties. When will it end? Why do disasters like this happen? How do we deal with anxiety, fear, and the like? Well, join us each Friday on the program Iron Sharpens Iron with your host, Chris Arnson, and Pastor Joe Jackowitz as they explore God's Word for answers to this and other of life's related issues. Tune in at firstloveradio.org. That's firstloveradio.org. Each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. That's Iron Sharpens Iron on firstloveradio.org. Fridays, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. To hear what the Bible has to say about pandemics and how we should respond.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Paul Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333, or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Listening to Christian radio can be a big gamble spiritually. Even many of the major Christian networks that include excellent, biblically faithful teachers on their lineup sadly often also include the worst of doctrinally dangerous heretics. If you are a lover of the doctrines of sovereign grace, you need not fear listening 24 hours a day to firstloveradio.org. They feature Christ-centered programming from Reformed pastors and teachers you can rely upon for theological soundness and biblical faithfulness, such as Dr. W.R. Downing, Dr. Peter Masters, Pastor Joe Jackowitz, Pastor Robert Gifford, Al Martin, Edward Del Cor, and more. FirstLoveRadio.org also live streams my Iron Sharpens Iron radio program daily. Please stick around on firstloveradio.org after Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is over to continue being blessed by the unwavering proclamation of the gospel of sovereign grace. Spread the word about firstloveradio.org.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And if you'd like Solid Ground Christian Books to continue being a sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, remember them for all your gift-giving needs. We've got graduations coming up. We've got back-to-school gifts. A lot of wedding anniversaries, birthdays, Mother's Day is coming up next month, and then Father's Day the month after. Well, please, every time you need to buy a gift for somebody, go to solid-ground-books.com and purchase them a gift that will either, if they are already a Christian, edify them and encourage them and enlighten them and educate them and maybe even transform their way of thinking, make them a better soldier for Christ, or if they're lost, you may be able to lead that person to eternal life with Jesus Christ through a book you give them from solid-ground-books.com that contains the life-giving gospel of Jesus Christ within its pages. So please, if you want us to stay on the air, please patronize Solid Ground Christian Books as often as you can by purchasing as many books as you possibly can, and always tell them that you heard about them from Chris Aronson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We are now back with Joe Jackowitz with the final portion of our interview today on our coronavirus update and biblical application that Christians that should lead Christians to respond biblically to this pandemic. And Joe, we were just talking about repentance before, and I am reminded, speaking of Solid Ground Christian Books, I'm reminded of the founder of that book ministry, Mike Gadosh, who was my very first pastor as a born-again believer. And I can remember him giving an analogy in a sermon where he was talking about professing Christians who believe in what is known as carnal Christianity, that all you need to do is make a one-time commitment to Christ, and then you could immediately just return to the satanic life that you had before and live that way for the rest of your life and expect to go to heaven, which is obviously a tragic, false expectation. But he likened it to a man on his wedding day approaching his bride at the altar with a prostitute on his arm, and as if he is not intending to give up this prostitute just because he's getting married. And I thought that was a very good analogy.
Well, I agree. Repentance is a mark of all those who know Christ. Repentance is not just a one-time act when a person becomes a Christian. It is also an ongoing act every day in the lives of Christians as we examine ourselves and in our private prayer closets when we pray, being moved usually by the Word of God, which exposes our sin. We confess that sin and repent of it. We condemn that sin. We loathe it. We ask God to reveal the heinousness and the blackness of that sin to us. We ask His Spirit to stir up godly sorrow that leads to a genuine repentance that is not to be easily repented of. And when you look at the ministry of the Apostle Paul in the church at Corinth, a lot of the first and second letters to the church at Corinth had to deal with validating the repentance of the Corinthians, because they were acting carnally. They were acting worldly. Paul called them to examine themselves. And so there was a ministry in which Paul was seeking to separate the true believers from the false believers. And he was seeking to call the true believers to a higher level of dedication and heart consecration to God in living holy lives. We also see this in the ministry of John the Baptist among religious people, especially the Pharisees, where he told the Pharisees, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down in the fire. He says God's winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor. So there is this program of testing, this ministry of searching that the Holy Spirit is constantly doing in bringing true Christians to greater levels of commitment, growth, dedication, and also in causing wandering backslidden Christians to return to him. And we started out at the onset of this program emphasizing the fact that the coronavirus, the pandemic, we could see it everywhere and signs of it everywhere. God is using as a major crisis event, as a tool of testing, as an instrument of chastisement in accomplishing both of these things, in making wandering believers aware of the fear of God and God's hatred towards sin, reminding believers who have become lax and thinking they're going to go to heaven on beds of ease like these carnal Christians, so-called, that you described, awakening people to the fact that God is a consuming fire and he will not clear the guilty, that God comes down like Jesus did in Revelation 2 and 3, and he walks among his candlesticks, and he does a ministry of testing to separate sheep from sheep. In the Old Testament, God called the prophets to a ministry where they were to distinguish between sheep and sheep, that is, between false professors and genuinely converted sheep. God himself talked about this, doing this himself in the hearts of those who profess to know him. In Ezekiel 34, he says, "O my flock, thus says the Lord God, behold, I shall judge between sheep and sheep and between ram and goats." He says the same thing to Aaron in Leviticus chapter 10. He says, "Look, don't drink wine and intoxicating drink, you nor your sons with you, when you go into the tabernacle of meeting, lest you die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, that you may distinguish between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean, and that you may teach the children of Israel all the statutes of the Lord." God is saying to the ministry class among the Jewish nation, the Levites, the priests, a whole tribe of Levi, under its father, Aaron, who was called to minister, and his sons, the things of God to the people, he says, to do so, your ministry, a lot of your ministry, is to separate the unholy from the holy. You yourselves, Aaron and your sons, must not commit these unholy things and must not practice sin, but in your ministry, you're called to separate and show the distinction between what is a godly lifestyle and the fruits of true repentance and the heart of a true believer, which is to constantly repent of sin and to go in growth and maturity throughout our Christian lives to greater and greater levels of commitment and holiness, as the Apostle Paul loves to describe these stepping stone processes from grace to grace, from glory to glory, from faith to faith, day by day.
Amen. And to complete the theme, A Call to Radical Christianity, tell us about freedom to follow the call.
Freedom to follow the call means that when God brings you back into the land of the living from being backslidden, and when God brings you to a place where you get so sick and tired of being restricted and being spinning your wheels in the same place in your relationship with God, and he brings you to that next level of commitment to holiness, it means that the Holy Spirit provides the liberty and the power and the grace to bring you back in, and when you're back in, to have you graduate and promote and grow to the next level in your sanctification. And it's such a freeing thing. The Bible talks about the Holy Spirit in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, is that the Holy Spirit gives you the freedom and the liberty to, let me not misquote it, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. And so if I would close with a statement, Chris, it would be this. It is the Holy Spirit who graduates you, who enables you to go to that next level by faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, to transform you into the image of Christ, going from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So if you've seen the effects of the coronavirus pandemic, and it has powerfully gotten your attention and caused you to become much more somber and serious, if it's been a wake-up call for you and I to put away foolishness and to put away entertainment as the main orientation of my identity and my happiness in this life, and has riveted your attention of your need to return to Christ, be encouraged, because the Lord Jesus is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He says to his church in Revelation 2, or in Revelation 3, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me. He delights to receive returning believers into his arms. He delights to hear the cries of his people. Lord, give me wisdom. Lord, bring me to that next level. Give me freedom and liberty and power of the Spirit so I can go to that next place in my relationship with you, because where I'm at right now, I'm miserable. The Lord loves to provide that grace we need for the freedom to live a holy life for Jesus Christ.
Amen. And that is a great way to conclude the program. And I want to make sure that our listeners have all the information they need to get in contact with you. First of all, folks, remember that Christ Bible Church in Pleasanton, California has a website, ChristBibleChurch.org, ChristBibleChurch.org. And then, of course, Pastor Joe also is the founder of First Love Radio. And the First Love Radio can be found at their own website, firstloveradio.org, firstloveradio.org. And I want to remind our listeners to please continue to pray for my oldest brother, John, who was discharged from the hospital after a very frightening visit there. I don't know if that's the right word, visit, but he was rushed there, as you may remember, by ambulance, and he it looked as though he was not going to leave that hospital ever again. And thanks be to our gracious and merciful and loving Savior, he increased the health of my brother enough where he was discharged. And even more importantly than that, he is showing very positive signs about being enthusiastic for Christ. And I would ask of you to pray that not only does the Lord continue to heal his broken body from critical stage emphysema, but infinitely more important, that he gives him a new heart and saves his soul, and that salvation is made crystal clear to me and to those who love him. So that we know where he will be for eternity if he should depart this earth sooner than we would hope. And so I would appreciate you keeping him in your prayers. And I just ask of you to also keep praying for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and our need financially to remain on the air. And please pray that new donors come our way and begin to join the others who have very sacrificially and generously contributed to this program, and new advertisers, and new listeners. It's always a joy every week to hear from all of you who have just discovered this program and have begun listening and have told me how much you enjoy and how much you are blessed by this program. It means more than I could possibly explain to you in the English language. And I hope that you all have a very safe and happy and healthy and blessed weekend, and Christ-honoring Lord's Day. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far, far greater Savior than you are a sinner.